Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
I'm Jay Bone, he's Blankers, it's Brian behind the glass, and it is a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees. Love me some Taco Tuesday. I especially love it after the Astros win yet another baseball game. Astros are rolling. Blankers, what'd you take away from yesterday's win?
Well, first and foremost, the power surge continues. I mean, from a team when we were talking about the offensive inefficiencies and everything that they've been struggling with going into the Boston series, suddenly it was like a breakout that's continued to roll over. Now Bregman with home runs in three straight games, Yiner keeps hitting home runs. You have everybody hitting, you know, for power now. Almost everybody in the lineup had a hit. The offense is completely awakened now, and it just seems like they're clicking on all cylinders, and it's a beautiful thing when it all has come together. We saw it earlier in the season when they kind of clawed their way back into the division race. Now when they need it most, it seems like they're getting contributions on both sides of the baseball, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, the offense is waking up, and that's great to see. The offense has been fantastic, and they did this against a good pitcher. Taj Bradley was the pitcher of the month in the American League in July, just so you know. So to be able to force him to exit the game early, to have good success against him, your co-hitters of the week in the American League continue to be scorching hot. Alex Bregman homers in the second inning. Yordan Alvarez drove in a run. Yiner Diaz is becoming the best offensive catcher in baseball. He's reaching the potential that we thought he was capable of. So the offense is rolling. I mean, Bregman's on a heater. Yordan's on a heater. Yiner's on a heater. Yordan's been on a heater all year when he's not at Minute Maid Park, for whatever reason. But the offense is clicking on all cylinders, and they're doing this too a week after we were writing off the offense. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this offense isn't looking good. This offense needs some help. They should have traded for all these bats at the deadline. How can they find help? One of the peripheral thoughts too was, well, your stars need to be your stars, because they didn't have a great homestand. They didn't have a great first couple of games in Arlington. And now your stars are becoming your stars. This lineup's much better, even if you still have 7-9 that isn't very good, when Yordan Alvarez is knocking the cover off the baseball. Even if your 7-9 aren't very good, and Alex Bregman, who's your two-hole hitter, is the American League co-batter of the week, this lineup looks much different. If Yiner Diaz, your cleanup man, he starts to catch fire, doesn't matter if you're bat 7-9, this offense looks much different. So the guys that you're counting on to be good, 2-3-4, have been good, especially on this road trip starting game 3 at Texas.
Yeah, and there's lots of positives to take off of what you just said and to pull from all of this too, but it's the fact that Altuve keeps doing Altuve things, even if he's not hitting the home runs that we're accustomed to seeing. He's getting on base again. He's having multi-hit games. He's setting the table for the other guys, and this is the lineup that we all expected to see all season long. When Altuve gets it going from the top, and then Bregman's able to keep going from there, and now you can't afford to walk Yordan like you once did, because Yiner is ripping the cover off of it, and he's hitting like .342 over his last 55 games, where we had struggled early in the season with runners in scoring position. Now it just seems like whoever's on base, the table's set, and everybody's picking up and just kind of, you know, station to station. It's fun to watch. They're playing a better-than-average baseball team from a pitching perspective, as you mentioned. They might not be the offensive team they were prior to the deadline, but at a time when you desperately need every game as you're battling tooth and nail with the Mariners, this is a great time to get hot on both sides.
Yeah, offense has been good. The heaters did a few of them on. How about Framber Valdez? What did you think of Framber's start from the lefty?
We started this conversation yesterday, Jeremy, and I think it's worth people mentioning again just so that they realize how important it is, what the guys behind the scenes are doing, because you're watching the first couple times, the first time, time and a half through the lineup, maybe he was really kind of more change-up dominant. And then all of a sudden, he kind of switched gears, and he started really going back to the curveball a lot. And the curveball had depth. It was moving and keeping guys off balance, and they were flailing. And this is the kind of Fromber that we keep talking about, that when he's on his game, his stuff is better than most. And he is on one of those heaters just all by himself lately, with his stuff being exactly what he wants it to be. He seems like he can throw anything at any time. He's commanding all of his other pitches. His fastball still is really, really good and has movement on it. And when you've got that guy there with some of the young guys you have at the top of your rotation, that's pretty damn formidable.
Yeah, I mean, Fromber to me has turned into the model of consistency. He's been super consistent. Last 10 starts, he's been about the same pitcher each and every time. 2.71 ERA in his last 10 starts. In that span, he's been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, in my opinion. The strikeouts you mentioned have gone up since he's added that curveball. That's something that Espada was mentioning after the game. He said, he's got a really good curveball. We don't understand why he wasn't throwing it more. So we said, hey, that's a really good pitch. Why don't you throw that really good pitch more? We give all this praise to the Astros for turning pitchers around, which they deserve. But it's usually the simplest things. This pitch isn't good. Stop doing that. This pitch is good. Let's see more of that. It's not rocket science. It's the same thing with Kikuchi. Hey, Kikuchi, your curveball, it isn't great against righties. Let's maybe not use it against righties. You can still use it against lefties, but let's not use it against righties. And then this changeup thing that you're not throwing very much, we like that. How about you start using that more? Like, people try to, like, overcomplicate this sport, quite frankly. It's sabermetrics and analytics and all of this. All the Astros are doing are looking at pitches that are poor and then looking at pitches that are good and forcing the pitcher to throw the good ones more often than throwing the bad ones. That's all they're doing. Whenever they traded for Kikuchi, I looked up the Baseball Savant. I'm like, this curveball isn't very good. This changeup is. I bet you the Astros tell him to get away from the curveball and throw more of the changeup. Guess what happened? That's what happened.
Well, but I think it's also what I mentioned. You're also not relying on it a second and third time through the order, where guys know what they saw the first time. They're looking for it more. It's something that they're going to be, you know, trying to be ready for. And then all of a sudden, he's getting you out with the curveball. He's becoming more curveball dominant. You know, we've heard all about all of the metrics and the spin rates and all the things that Verlander and other guys have talked about. But the fact of the matter is, these guys are all dialed in, and it's not like they can't pitch or have pitches that get guys out. It's just kind of how they go about their business of plotting through a game. And last night was a perfect example of Fromber just kind of, you know, writing a script of exactly how to pitch through a lineup for as long as he pitched.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and the production is there, and it's awesome. That's not some sort of cutting-edge idea, though. That's always been kind of the philosophy of a starter. Hey, the first couple of times through the lineup, let me be fastball, secondary pitch. And then, you know, if I see them multiple times, then we start adding in a third or even fourth pitch. Or you show it early, et cetera, et cetera. It's also part of sequencing, which the Astros are given a lot of credit for as, you know, one of the better organizations in baseball when it comes to that sequencing and turning pitchers who many people didn't think were big leaguers, like Christian Javier, like Ronel Blanco, into good big league pitchers. The Astros have been very good at that. There's no doubt about it. Fromber Valdez, we mentioned 10 starts. That has been just a model of consistency in those 10 starts. He's went 6 innings, 7 innings, 5 and 2-thirds, 6 and a third, 6 innings, 8 and 2-thirds, 5 and 2-thirds in that stretch. The most runs he's given up in that span, 4. Four runs against Pittsburgh. Everything else has been below four. He's had 1 4-run outing. He's had 1 3-run outing. Everything else has been underneath. So he's been the workhorse. He is the guy at the top of this starting rotation. He and Hunter Brown have taken the reins of this starting rotation since Verlander's been out. Somebody asked me on Twitter yesterday, one game, do or die, both guys are fully available, Fromber or Hunter Brown?
I've said all along, and Brian and I had this conversation a couple weeks back, I just think it's Fromber. Because he's been there and done that before. I believe that when he's got stuff like he has last night, still has an above-average fastball, has been in big-game situations and come through for you before, not to take anything away from Hunter Brown, but I would put the ball in the hands of Fromber.
I completely agree. I agree with that. Joe Espada, what'd you think of the hook on Fromber yesterday?
I saw it coming. I mean, I think that they're going to be cognizant of all their pitchers at this point, and they had a good enough lead where when he's getting close, and he's in the 90s anyway, it was going to be his last inning. And I just feel like he felt like He was trying to empty the tank. He had one last chance to go to finish the inning. He didn't do it. And he was, and Joe Espada wasn't going to let it go any further, and I don't blame him for doing it.
Yeah, that was a really good hook. You could, I know some people, give him six innings, give him the quality. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I could not care less about a quality start. You're up 6-1 at that point. He just went over 100 pitches. He just walked the guy. You want to give the reliever comfortable lead, only one runner on base, only inherit one runner. I thought it was a really good hook by Joe Espada. No problem with it whatsoever. I don't think anybody really did. I didn't see people have a problem with it other than, hey, give him a quality start. I feel bad that Fromber gave up an earned run. I think it's silly that Pedro Leon play was charged a base hit. And I know that, he didn't touch it. Oh, he lost it in the room. I don't care. I hate the way the games are ruled by official scores. Should the guy have made a play? Should the guy have caught the ball? If the guy should have caught the ball, it should be an error. If you don't think he should have caught the ball, then it's a base hit. I hate the, he didn't touch the glove. Oh, he overran it. Oh, the roof came into play. Should he have made the play? It's that simple. Should he have made the play? Yes. Absolutely, yes. Should have been an error. Again, not a big deal, but I like to get on my hot stove about certain things.
No, and I don't disagree with that because of the fact that it doesn't matter what the letter of the law says. If that's a running catch where he's got to cover a lot of ground and he just gets there at the very last minute and he doesn't touch anything, that might be different. The fact of the matter is he basically kind of laid down camp right underneath the baseball. He knew where it was supposed to be. I know Blummer and TK were talking about he looked down and the roof's tough to read, but he's got all day to make that play, and the fact that it suddenly lands at his feet is borderline inexcusable for a Major League Baseball
player. See, I actually do give him the excuse because that isn't the worst roof in all of baseball. It is white. It's very easy to lose the ball there. Play you got to make. 100 times out of 100 times you should make the play. But that is a ballpark where the ball gets lost in the roof a lot. And if you watch the replay, you see Leon running over. You see him looking down to see, okay, how much space I have. And he looks up and then the ball is behind him. You're right. It's a play that you have to make. But that is a crappy ballpark.
And you've been there. So,
caught a foul ball there. I actually saw the ball on the roof. I'm a professional.
Of course.
I am a dog.
The biggest thing for me is the fact that in batting practice and infield, outfield, and you would think some of the veterans are also kind of walking Leon through to give him every pointer in the book, because you heard Blummer talking about how Dubon said how tough that roof is. You would think during infield, outfield and stuff that he would get enough to know that you can't take your eye off of it.
I can guarantee you Pedro Leon took pop-ups before the game.
Yeah.
At that ballpark.
But that's why, again, I just don't know how excusable it is.
Yeah, I mean, you lose balls in the roof. It happens. You lose balls in the sun. It happens. It shouldn't, but it does. What did you think of the two relievers afterwards? It's nice that you haven't had to use your leverage guys in back-to-back games. Really put you in good position today and tomorrow. But everyday Tay, inning in a third, no runs. Caleb Ort, two no-hit innings, punches out two. Got away with a hanging slider that was caught at the track. What did you think of everyday Tay and Caleb Ort?
I just, from a Taylor Scott perspective, he just continues to do. And the guys were talking about how maybe they've, after the three-inning spot start for the Astros a while back, that maybe they started to be more cognizant of even how much they use him. But, to get the one out, go up, down, and be able to come back out, get you another clean inning, fantastic. And Ort's a guy that I've been really encouraged by since they acquired the guy and put him in there, because you cannot, and you mentioned this, but you cannot dispute the fact that he throws upper 90s and can hit the strike zone. And the fact that he gives you an overpowering arm that can get you more than one inning is a guy that has a use in Major League Baseball and has a use in this bullpen. And I thought he was great again last night.
Yeah, really nice to see that from guys who aren't your leverage guys. Everyday Tay's been there all year long. Caleb Ort, good find by Dana Brown. Good work by the pitching staff of Murphy and Miller and the law firm. Another example on Caleb Ort that he was shipped out of Boston and they didn't like his command. And now he's he's Greg Maddux. He's not missing. Although he did miss on that slider in the zone, got away with. But he's throwing strikes. And I was watching his stuff pretty closely yesterday because I know in the back of my mind, because whenever he played the Reds, they played Boston, the Red Sox fans were like, oh my goodness, how do we let this guy get away? This guy was never like this with us. So I wanted to see his command. I think he's just throwing the ball right down the middle of the plate and challenging hitters.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, why wouldn't you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter how good your secondary pitch is when your fastball is that dominant. I mean, here it is. Go get it. If you think you can tag it, go try.
Yeah.
And take your chances. If that's how you live and die with a guy, more times than not, 98-plus is going to get outs.
Yeah, you're right. It plays a little bit, that Caleb Ort. All right, 713-780-3776. Astros win 6-1. They are 6-1, 7 games through a 9-game roadie. It's been an impressive start. They'll try to clinch the series in Tampa a little bit later. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. We'll get your thoughts on Game 1. Busy show. We're always busy, especially on a Taco Tuesday. Cash it or trash it at 4:30. Jahmyr Gibbs, how serious is this injury? Maybe Brandon Ayuk is on the cusp of being traded? I don't know, maybe. The defensive ends for the Texans, too. What kind of years are we expecting from Will Anderson and or Danielle Hunter? When we come back, though, I am team hashtag pay the man. That might be a surprise to some because I'm never team hashtag pay the man. But I actually am with this specific player, and it's not who you think. 713-780-3776. We're on twitch.tv/ESPN975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitter, ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Beast on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
You're listening to ESPN975.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I am hashtag pay the man, finally, on a very specific somebody. It's not Alex Bregman. It's not Alex Bregman. I think you already know. I've been on this since the offseason. This isn't new if you kept up with the killer bees.
On a couple of them. So.
Yeah, there's one that's taking the lead. I'm actually out on the other one.
Okay.
I'm actually out on the other one. I want to hashtag pay the man Yiner Diaz.
That's what I thought.
I want to hashtag. I was on two in the offseason. Like, if you're going to sign guys to early extensions, which is very popular nowadays in baseball, it's been popular for like the last decade. Buy players or sign them to extensions. Buying players is not the right way to phrase that. Sign them to extensions before they hit arbitration, while they're still in their auto reserve years. Give them the guaranteed money, the big money, get a lot of it up front, the signing bonus, and then buy out a few of their free agent years, because once you get closer to free agency, it is more and more difficult to re-sign players. It's usually how you get players to sign for very, very cheap. Ronald Acuna is somebody who signed a multi-long-term deal. Fernando Tatis, locally in Houston, three critical Astros have signed contract extensions before they even hit arbitration. Jose Altuve did it, Alex Bregman did it, and Yordan Alvarez didn't. The guys that don't do it, they usually bolt right away. George Springer, Carlos Correa, talking about it from a position player perspective. Now, the Astros have done it with a couple of pitchers, too, and it hasn't worked out a whole lot. Lance McCullers did it, was a team-friendly deal when he didn't, hadn't given you very good ROI. Actually, it's given you terrible ROI. Same thing with Javier. Javier, when he signed his extension, was team-friendly extension. The ROI on it has not been very good. So I think I actually am more in favor of the idea with position players specifically. I'm not sure I'm giving any long-term money to any pitchers nowadays in baseball, because everybody gets hurt if you're throwing a baseball hard. But for position players specifically, I am a fan of locking up these players early. Yiner Diaz is to the point now where, you know, when we talked about in the offseason, it was like, well, he hadn't done enough. These were like the counterpoints. Like, he hadn't done enough. I need to see one more year of it. I still need to be convinced. I was ready to roll the dice and do it right away. I was also willing to do it with Jeremy Pena, which wouldn't have hurt you. I mean, Pena is an everyday shortstop, but maybe you're not as desperate to do it for Pena as you would be Yiner Diaz. Maybe it doesn't make as much sense for Pena as it does for Yiner. So that's the move that I'm trying to make for if I'm the Astros this offseason. Alex Bregman's going to be a free agent. You're going to be a year away from Fromber, Kyle Tucker. You might need to make a decision this offseason on what you want to do with those guys, because it might make sense to trade those guys before they bolt you for a compensation pick. But the one guy that I'm trying to lock up immediately to buy out some years of free agency is Yiner Diaz. I was here in the offseason, but I am more than convinced that Yiner Diaz needs to be given a long-term extension this offseason, buy out some of his free agent years.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing where I would actually support that, because I'm always leery of that, because you mentioned the teams that have done it, and Tampa's done it in the past, Seattle with J-Rod as well, and you look at it and you say, okay, well, I mean, J-Rod's your center fielder, and you know in a lot of cases exactly what those players are going to be. He's so good offensively, it doesn't matter where you put him. If you want him to continue to catch and get better and work on his defense and do all those things, and you don't think it's extremely taxing on him or the reason why he kind of had a lull early in the season, then so be it. But even if he doesn't play catcher for you, his bat is so valuable no matter where he is in the lineup. If Yordan's going to be your most regular and frequent designated hitter, then in the offseason, get him more reps at first base. Ironically, we'll have more on that. But at the same time, you look at it and say, he's so good offensively, that has value and should be compensated for no matter where you play him defensively. And if you add him to Yordan locked up long-term with some of the young guys you still have are under control, there's every reason to believe this team can stay competitive.
Yeah, I'm to the point, too, if I were to sign him to an extension, I'm probably moving him to first base because I'm trying to save his bat. I want his bat in the lineup as much as possible. I'm trying to save his legs. I'm trying to get the most out of him offensively. So if I give him the extension, I'm making him a first baseman. If I get the sense that he doesn't want to sign an extension with me, or if talk stall and you're like, okay, this guy's not going to be a guy we can get done early, he's going to hit free agency and then go to the highest bidder like Correa, like George Springer, I'm probably keeping him a catcher because now I'm trying to maximize the value of what he's going to give me in those 6 years of club control. But if I sign him long term, I'm moving him over to first base. I tweeted this yesterday, hashtag pay the man, and Apollo does great job content creating all that stuff on socials. He said Will Smith contract immediately. And Will Smith, the Dodger catcher, signed in the offseason to a $140 million deal for 10 years. And Will Smith's 29 years old. Will Smith's currently 29 years old, 10-year deal. Yiner's 25. Yeah. Yiner's 25 years old. And what Yiner's doing offensively, he's worth way more than $14 million a year. He's probably a $20, $25 million a year type of bat alone. Before you're even talking about defense, a bat alone. Yeah, give him the Will Smith contract immediately. Put it on his table now. And the nasty truth about this, too, is a lot of the Latin Americans are way more willing to get these contracts done because they come from poverty. Their families are in not good spots. This makes them way off immediately, well off immediately. They get the money up front in a lot of ways and much, much quicker. I mean, he would be making, if you gave him the Will Smith deal, he's making $14 million next year, or you're escalating it up to that at some point, as opposed to getting what is would be a third-year minimum for a player in Major League Baseball. So it completely changes his family fortune. Like that. It's the same reason that Yordan Alvarez did that. So, yes, Yiner Diaz should be offered the Will Smith contract. Don't even wait to the offseason. Offer it to him right now and show him that you're committed to him.
And again, it's not that big of a risk for you. It's actually the reward because the Yordan deal every single day looks like a sweet, more and more of a sweetheart deal in your favor as a team for doing what you did, all to just give him the security earlier than he would have had to wait to get, you know, and continue to perform at a certain level with. If you can do that with Yiner as well and he's open to it, my goodness. I mean, you want to talk about a coup of being able to wrap up two guys that are that prevalent in the middle of your lineup and know that they are going to be in the heart of your batting order for 5 or 7 years at a discounted price. What that can do for you in a variety of ways to restructure and use that money in other areas. It's phenomenal, and you're going to get the production in the middle of the lineup.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was actually a thought of mine, too, because it's like, okay, now you'd have Yiner and Yordan locked up. They're currently hitting 3 and 4 for you, so you'd have two middle-of-the-order bats that are good. One may be the best hitter in all of baseball. The other one's the best offensive catcher in all of baseball, potentially. Now, I do want to move him to first if you were to sign an extension. But you're talking about two middle-of-the-order bats who you have locked up for the foreseeable future who are below market value. Yeah. Who are below market value. So it makes all the sense in the world to give Yiner Diaz that Will Smith offer immediately. And you mentioned we're going to get to something. Yiner Diaz is in the lineup today playing first base for the first time all season.
And it's really interesting because of the fact that if you can find that home for him now and he doesn't hurt you defensively at first base and he keeps that big bat in the lineup and you don't have to worry about that corner, the corner infield spot there being such a liability all season, no matter what Singleton did when he was on a heater and when he periodically is still in the lineup, it opens you up to so many more possibilities. Now, if DeCenzo can play some outfield, you've got another way to get another bat into the lineup there. If you're getting Kyle Tucker back, you have so many different ways to get creative with your offensive lineup and keep better than average hitters all across the lineup because you don't have to burn either left field and or DH with wherever you're going to play Yordan. And then if Yiner's not catching, the only option is for him to DH. If he can play first base, boy, oh boy, this offense could get even better.
He did play first base last year a handful. I mean, he came up in the minors playing first base. Started seven games at first, appeared in eight. But, I mean, he is a guy who played first base in the minor leagues. So that does exist, the option of that. But Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, DHing, Yiner, Pena, Caratini, Myers, Dubon, McCormick. This is the game where, like, hey, DeZinzo, hey, he's getting outfield reps. Hey, maybe have DeZinzo in the lineup. So I do love that Yiner's playing first because I think your best lineup is if DeZinzo can play corner outfield.
No doubt.
Because you get Caratini catching, you get Yiner playing first base, Yordan DHs, and then you get DeZinzo in one of these corner outfield spots. You can subtract one of the bats. You pick it, Dubon, McCormick. They've both been terrible as of late. Yep. So the only hang-up I have on today's lineup is I wish DeZinzo was playing in left field.
That's the first thing I looked at. I was like, well, is DeZinzo going to be, you know, I thought, well, he's not giving Bregman a day off because he's on a heater. So is he going to find a way to get DeZinzo in the lineup? I don't want to see Chaz. I don't want to see Dubon. I know Jake's going to play every day in center field. It would have been outstanding if there was a way to find, you know, a spot for him too, because if he continues to hit the way he's hitting, a lot of the concerns when you traded Lo Perfido and you were getting less than production from the other guys in the outfield could be solved if he can bring you a bat and be a decent outfielder and you can play him more consistently in the outfield as well as the infield. Then even if you want to give days off to some guys, if his bat's that good, then he can move around and he can kind of be part of your Dubon platoon to get a bat in the lineup and give guys days off too.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish DeZinzo was in there today, but he's not. But I am intrigued by the idea of Yiner Diaz playing first base for the first time this season. So hashtag pay the man Yiner Diaz. Yay or nay on that. 713-780-3776. And the other side of that, everybody wants to hashtag pay the man. Alex Bregman. Is Alex Bregman pricing himself out of the Astros range? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Time to tell you about HRMP, the greatness that is HRMP. It's Cougar, owned by my colleague, O'Cooks. And business owners, let HRMP help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRMP can help in any or all of those facets. There's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small, how big. HRMP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRMP will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always be talking to someone who knows you and knows your business needs. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out on the web, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blank, Branham, the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Pay the man, but Yiner, not Bregman. And Alex Bregman, who is the hot topic, right? He's the hot topic coming up this offseason. He's been really good. He's on a heater. Homered yesterday, the co-AL player of the week. Do you think that Alex Bregman is pricing himself out of the Houston Astros range?
I think there's a chance. I think that in looking at the free agents, and Chapman's going to be a free agent again, he has the ability to be at the end of the season. There's going to be teams out there looking for third baseman, and there's going to be third baseman on the market. But I don't know that he's priced himself out yet. Yes, he's on a heater. We know also how long it took him to get off of the slow start that everybody said happens all the time, but it was extended this year. So I think that you take the good and the bad and say, at his age, are teams going to still overpay him? Unless the Yankees, who need a third baseman, decide that they're going to go and just throw money, and I don't know that he wants to play, you know, with the Yankees or not. But I think that Arizona is going to be one to watch because, you know, if you want to believe that he already got a place there and sold his house here and that he's kind of setting up camp there or not, that's interesting to see if Bregman's going to consider doing that. But he's got such a good thing here that I think that if they're in the range, I still feel like if the Astros are willing to go 4 years, that I think that there's a chance you could get him still for something that I would say is in their range.
Yeah, I guess we need to define where the Astros drop dead is, because I think 4 years is the maximum they would go with Alex Bregman. Mm-hmm. Bregman's not, you know, a spring chicken. He's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 next year. I mean, so you give him a 4 year deal, you're looking at age 31, 32, 33, 34, 30, 34. So that's not the prime of a player's career. The prime of a player's career is usually mid to late 20s, and then you start to see a drop-off, average based on the career of players in the history of Major League Baseball. So I think 4 years is the absolute most they will go. I also don't think they're going to go much. Like, I don't know if they get to 30 with Bregman. Like,
see, I'm in the 25 to 30 range.
See, I don't think he's going to get 20. I don't think that Alex Bregman would settle for a $100 million 4 year deal. I think that he'll get more in free agency because of the uptick in production. People are going to look at this and go, okay, this is the guy we're getting. He's an elite defensive third baseman, plays it at an incredibly high level. Bregman signing for $100 million for 4 years seems extremely light.
Yeah, no, I think that you can try and make that offer now to try and keep him off the open market. But if he goes to the open market, I think the range where I think they'll play ball is 25 to 30. I think when you start going over 30 at 4 years, I think that where the Crane Gang and everybody's going to start pumping the brakes is at that moment and be like, hey, if you think you're going to get that kind of return on investment and you're willing to make that kind of deal, that's where we might be out, because we did see what we saw every game this year. We do know that he's getting older. And the fact that at the end of the year, ideally, if Chapman still has better offensive numbers and Chapman's a good defensive third baseman as well, hopefully that helps and goes in your favor if teams are more interested in that than they are in Bregman. But, yeah, I don't see them going over 30.
Yeah, I don't see him going over 30. I don't see him going over 4. So, I mean, the absolute most there is 120 for a 4 year deal. I think Bregman gets more than that. Now, if he didn't have this little, you know, hot summer, Bregman had a hot boy summer, I don't think that we're looking at that kind of money for Alex Bregman. I mean, even Matt Chapman got a $30 million AAV. Now, he got it short-term. He got opt-outs throughout. But if Chapman's getting $30 million, I think that Alex Bregman's easily getting $30 million. I think he's getting $30 million as well, but then he's going to get it in additional years. I think somebody's going to pay him up to five years. I think somebody will give him $30 million per 5 years, $150 total.
Yeah, see, I was thinking, would you be willing to go 5 years if you went five for 125?
Not really.
See, that's where that last year teeters on putting you in a really tough spot if he falls off a cliff or if he completely regresses. But yeah, I mean, to stay competitive, if the Astros would look in that range, because I heard people saying you got to give him the same kind of, you got to give him the Altuve treatment, you got to wrap him up for the rest of his career. I just don't see that the same, and I don't think they're going to do that.
Chapman got 18, by the way. That's my bet on that. I think Bregman will get in the 30 range, though. 27, 30 million, which is not where I was at the start of the year. No. Whenever Bregman got off to that atrocious start, I'm like, if Bregman finished this up, he's going to have trouble getting 25 million.
We were kind of teetering at sub 20 or right at the edge of 18 to 20.
Yeah, that's why him playing well, though, has boosted his stock, is going to boost what he gets in free agency, and is the reason I think that you're priced out of the Alex Bregman conversation. The other part of this conversation, too, is if they really believe in Zach DiCenzo, like, Zach DiCenzo's not the player that Alex Bregman is right now, obviously, but you're not paying or making long-term decisions based on what they are currently. You're projecting what they're going to be for the life of the contract or the life that you have them under club control. So, like, the Astros will have DiCenzo for, like, 6 years. If Bregman signs a four-year deal, let's just look at a four-year window. Is Alex Bregman from next year through the 4 years of his contract going to outproduce Zach DiCenzo year one through four? Probably. Mm-hmm. But is he going to outproduce him at $30 million worth? Because if Bregman's getting 30 and DiCenzo's on a rookie contract, then you're willing to take a drop off there if you're thinking that you can get 75% of Alex Bregman's production.
And on the flip side, Jeremy, the other thing you got to consider is can DiCenzo play better? I don't think he's going to play better third base than Alex Bregman. Mm-mm. Can he play decent enough third base? Because of the fact that Bregman's, the intangibles that people don't look at as much that they should, is, like you said, he is a very above average third baseman. He makes that play again last night, makes everything look so easy, crossing the foul line and being able to quickly in one motion field and throw across his body and get that throw to first base. He is really good at third base. So you have to consider, can DiCenzo at least play good to better than average third base for you as well.
Yeah, I think so. Credit. I mean, he's a converted shortstop. He's not going to be in Bregman's league because Bregman's top five defensive third baseman. I'm saying that DeZinzo is going to be that would be outrageous, but I think DeZinzo is more than going to hold his own. Converted shortstop, they've liked him at third base. I think they already think he's the heir apparent there. Now, I do think that they're willing to talk shop with Bregman, but I do think they're going to draw the line in the sand. I think Bregman's going to want more money than the Astros are willing to give him. Chalupa says 130 for 5 years. See, that's too many years for me.
Yeah.
What's the math on that? That's not that much per year, though. 130 divided by five. That's not a whole lot of money on an average annual value basis. You're looking at $26 million. I guess maybe for the extra fifth year, maybe you would sign for a little bit less AAV. I wouldn't give him 130 for five, though. I think my drop-dead offer is 100 for four. I really don't want to go above 25.
I don't think they go over 4 years.
Like, I don't.
I just think that their track record says they're not going over 4 years, especially for a guy that's his age. I just don't see them doing it. It's a good on the DeCenzo front. It's interesting because if Yiner then becomes your first baseman, well, then first base is solved offensively for sure. And then if DeCenzo is the guy that continues to hit like this, it's a great problem to have in terms of where do you play him. If you bring Bregman back, well, then he can play left field. If you lose Bregman, you've got the replacement built right in at third base. And then, depending on if you think you've saved money, then you can use some of that money to kind of look at a left fielder if you want to go out and get a bat in the offseason and then kind of put the finishing touches on upgrading the lineup top to bottom.
Yeah, I don't know how much financial flexibility the Astros are going to have this offseason, but it would be more should Bregman go elsewhere. And Caratini's under contract next year, too.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, you have Yiner. If you were to move him to first base like he is today, then you already have Caratini under contract. Yiner would be cheap, although I'd like an extension. DeCenzo, if you think he's already a full-time third baseman, well, there you go. And you could do that pretty affordably. These are the factors that will be Dana Brown's desk in the offseason.
To have a switch-hitting catcher that's hitting the way Caratini has hit this year and done the things for you, you just have to ask yourself the question, is this something that he can continue to do for multiple years? Is this something where he kind of found it for a year, like the Chaz situation? But if he can give you that for another year and he can be a switch-hitting catcher behind the plate that allows Yiner to play other positions, that's another feather in your cap.
Yeah. I'm confident he could be a switch-hitting catcher.
I'm saying
next year.
That hits hits the way he's hitting this year.
Yeah, I think that it's probably a little bit because he's not playing as much as he normally does. That's probably contributing to hit. Like, I think catcher's the one position where you can actually improve your offensive numbers by playing a little bit less because of the wear and tear of the catcher position. Every other position, you want the reps of hitting. But yeah, Caratini's been very, very good. Glad he's in the lineup today. 713-780-3776. 8711 says $30 million per year for Bregman. I'm out on that. 2422, the Astros do a deal with Bregman or Tucker like the Dodgers did and pay it over a long period of time. I don't think that that's good business for an owner that is looking for financial gain, quite frankly. And Crane doesn't strike me as the type of guy that wants to be paying long-term on a contract that would be costing him money over time. But one of the unknown things about deferring the money to is you actually have to start putting the money in escrow immediately. People don't realize that. Like, it's not, okay, we're kicking the can down the road and the interest rate of our cash is growing at a higher rate than the deferred money that Shohei Ohtani's on, because that's where your mind would go. Our interest rate of our cash in our savings account or wherever we have it, not a savings account, I hope not, is growing at faster than the deferred interest rate of Shohei. No, you got to start putting that money in escrow based on Major League Baseball rule. So that does not strike me as a Crane move. I think that was a Dodgers, hey, we're kind of not that they're cash poor, but maybe they don't have $70 million a year. I think that was their way of just guaranteeing Shohei Ohtani to be there by any means necessary. And Shohei Ohtani is also a unicorn, both on the field. His contract, $700 million. So I don't think we can look at the Shohei Ohtani Dodger thing as like this thing that's going to change the way that free agency is done in baseball.
It's such a rarity because of the fact that, as you mentioned, even after everything you said, the other thing is that because of his international star power, he had the income coming from so many different places outside of baseball that it was very easy for him to make a deal like this and also realize, by doing this, I'm still going to get mine, but I'm also going to guarantee that a team that likes to overspend can continue to give us one of the best teams in baseball during my tenure here with the Dodgers. I'm all in on all of this because I'm not getting screwed, and I can handle it financially, and it's going to give me a really good team to play for the entire time I'm here.
Yeah, plus it's not fantastic business for Shohei. Like, whenever you get a large, not that this happens to any of us, but if somebody offers you a large sum of money or to be paid over time, you always take the large sum of money because cash in hand is better for long-term financial growth. But you're absolutely right about the endorsements and stuff like that. That was tremendous income that most players don't have. I mean, Shohei's a unicorn again on that front too. Now, one thing that we haven't mentioned is that Shohei also had outcome. Now, he had a bunch of income from sponsors, but he had the outcome of that translator that was wasting all of his money. 8711, Bregman should be the in the $150 to $180 million range. It's probably fair, but I'm out on that.
Yeah, not here.
I'm out on that. All right, 713-780-3776. Killer B, 713-780-3776. So, no DeZinzo in the lineup today. Jordan Alvarez is DHing, not playing left. So, you have a Dubon, Myers, Chaz outfield. Probably the worst hitting outfield in all of baseball. I have the best solution for the revolving door in right field, sometimes left field. It's not the answer because there's no right answer. It's just the best solution for what you got. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, I need you to go to VanderfordAir.com right now because Vanderford Air is the best in the business at taking care of their customers. And we know that we're heading for triple digits this weekend. I think we've been lucky so far. It hasn't been consistently in the hundos like it's been for the last couple of summers, but you know those days are coming and you need to be prepared now so that it doesn't catch you off guard if the heat comes and your air conditioner goes. That's going to be a bigger problem. VanderfordAir.com, I speak for them because they've got the guarantees that everybody needs when they're looking for companies to do business that provide services. The guarantees I'm talking about, it starts with when you make the call. You call them, they guarantee within 24 hours they are going to be there for you. They will be there at your door to take care of your problems within 24 hours of you calling them. No waiting for weeks on end or a week here and longer later because of the fact that they're back, the company is backed up with orders and they can't get to you fast enough. Nope. They're going to be there to take care of you. And the bigger thing than that is everything that they do is 100% guaranteed. So whether it's a part that needs to be replaced or a whole new system in your house, everything that they do is guaranteed. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed no matter what, but that includes everything. To make sure the part that they use is guaranteed or the system that they replace is guaranteed, the temperature is optimal and gets exactly where you need it to go. They'll start by putting it all in writing. They'll finish by giving you all the guarantees, and you know that everything that they do is going to be okayed by you and right by you or you don't pay. That's phenomenal. Put this number in your phone right now or call them and get them to check out your unit before it's too late. 281-557-COOL. It's easy to remember. 281-557-2665. They will come to you. They will take care of you, and they will guarantee the work that they do. That's all you can ask for. That's why I encourage people to call them and have your unit checked out before it's too late and it gets too hot and there's a breakdown. But if you want to wait till that happens, know that they're going to have your back, be there quickly, and take care of everything with guarantees. 281-557-COOL or check out VanderfordAir.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
The final 10 podcasts have been selected for round 2 of Rock the Mic.
Commence with round 2.
Now we're ready to name the 4 best podcasts, but we need your help doing it. Go to ESPN Houston on YouTube, find the Rock the Mic playlist to see the final 10 and their new videos. Like your favorites and get ready to join us next Friday, August 23rd from 12 to 7 at Carbach Brewery for the live finale of Rock the Mic 2024.
Live, uncut, in person.
Cast your vote for your favorite on ESPN Houston's YouTube channel today.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A lot of people are unhappy with the Astros production in the outfield, especially when Jordan's not playing left field, which he is not again today. Back-to-back DH games for Jordan Alvarez after he played 3 straight in left field at Fenway. Got to get the big man off his feet, especially on that turf.
I was going to say, that's the key. That Tampa turf, they talked about it last night. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you saw when he took the misstep in the outfield at Minute Maid and everybody held their breath, don't let him get a spike caught or do something on that bad turf.
Yeah, they don't like him playing defense on turf, which I'm cool. I don't like him playing defense at all. Now, at Fenway, You can get away with it at Fenway because Fenway is a pretty easy left field to navigate. It's grass. You got the big monster. It's less room to roam. Yeah, playing the ball off the wall can be challenging. But in terms of, like, physically, like, demanding, playing left field at Fenway is the easiest from a physically demanding point of view. So I was cool with him playing left field in all three of those games. Not that I want to make it a habit and never want to see it on turf. Don't really like to see it in a big left field either. But because they're not playing Yordan Alvarez in the outfield and because Kyle Tucker's currently hurt, which did you see McTaggart's video, by the way, of Tucker throwing yesterday?
Yeah.
Doesn't look good to me. It looks like he's dragging a bad leg.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of far away, and it wasn't the best video. So, I mean, I'm encouraged because at least there's more than what we've been hearing he's been able to do. But, again, it's the fact that at what point do we just hear that he's going to go do a rehab game or two or and get be ready to be back in the lineup? Because no matter what you see and say yay or nay to the video, he ain't anywhere close to getting to Sugar Land or somewhere else to where he can help this baseball team.
It looks like he's dragging that leg to me. I didn't think he looked very good. But I digress. You don't have very good options right now in left and right field. That's why Yordan's been playing a ton of left field. That's why they're having DeZinzo catch a few fly balls in the outfield. Because your production from those spots haven't been good. Dubon's been really bad this summer. He's been the opposite of Bregman, who's having a hot boy summer. Dubon's having a cold boy summer. Chaz McCormick's been Chazzy Fizzless all season long after what's probably going to amount to a career year that he had last season. You're getting nothing. You've traded away Lo Perfetto, who was not very good for you, but might have been your best left fielder. Trey Cabbage is currently not on this team because Aledmys Diaz gives Yordan Alvarez high fives and gives him water whenever he's thirsty. So Cabbage isn't up here. So I have the best solution for the revolving door that you have in the corner outfield when Yordan's not playing and until Kyle Tucker comes back. And this isn't the answer because there is not a right answer to what you currently have. This roster is not equipped to field good corner outfielders currently if Yordan's your DH. And this doesn't include Amad Rosario, who can play corner outfield, who is available because he was designated for assignment. I'd be shocked if he got to the Astros waiver claim, but if he does, Dana Brown better pick up that phone. Right now, you're looking at a rotation of Mauricio Dubon. You're looking at a rotation of Chaz McCormick. Hopefully, they use Zach DeZinzo out there sooner rather than later. Aledmys Diaz hasn't played since like mid-July. Used to be able to play a little bit of left field. I think that conversation has kind of faded away. So you really only have three options, and one of them's never played corner outfield in the bigs. I think they should rotate the hot hand here. Like, they're all right-handed, so you're not playing the lefty-righty game. Like, if you had Trey Cabbage, a left-handed bat, Dubon, Chaz, DeZinzo, righties, you could do the lefty-righty thing. A righty on the mound, Cabbage gets a start. Lefty on the mound, you deploy your right-handed lineup, or whatever the splits are. But they're all alike. They're all alike because Chaz, right-handed. Dubon, right-handed. They both, over the course of their career, hit lefties better. DeZinzo, you know, what does he do in the bigs? We're yet to find out. So you can't really play the split game. You can't play the handedness game with these three. So instead, play the hot hand. Play the hot hand. Okay, like today, Chaz is in the lineup, Dubon's in the lineup. If they both have a productive game, okay, you earn a start tomorrow too. If you have a productive game, you get to stay in the lineup. If you don't have a productive game, it's the opposite. You're out of the lineup. You're not really playing the matchups. They're all similar, all right-handed outfielders who are below average offensive guys. So go with the hot hand. Not that any of them have been hot. But if you're in the lineup, you have a productive day at the plate. I don't care if you're 0-for-4, you hit four lasers. That's productive in my book. So however you grade productive, that guy gets a start the next day. Stop drawing these names out of a hat, and I know they're not doing that, but go with the guy who had a productive day at the plate and keep him in the lineup until he is no longer productive and just continue to revolve the door hoping that something sticks.
So earn the burn.
Earn the burn.
That's where you're at. Okay.
I've never heard that, but yeah, that sounds good.
I'll have that. It's more for basketball too, but...
Oh, yeah, I've heard it in basketball.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm fine with that because, you know, we've harped on it even when Dusty was the manager. I was harping on it all the time. I hate sitting a guy when he's on a burner. When he's red hot and he's had a good game or two, don't sit him down. I know it, even if he was scheduled for a day off. Right now, you just can't afford to just try and overthink things and take a guy hot out of the lineup when you're in this big of a dogfight with the Mariners anyway. But I'm all for that. And if you want to start playing Yiner more at first base to eliminate the platoon at first base and give you a steady bat there, does that allow DeCenzo to be able to play some corner outfield and get in that mix and be a guy that, as long as he's getting a knock or two, is going to be better than what you've had, then do that. Because you don't have the wiggle room to screw around because you are chasing, not being chased on a daily basis. If that gives us the best offensive lineup night in, night out, I'm all for it.
I like your phrasing for it. Let's earn the burn. Earn the burn in the corner outfield. If Dubon goes 2-for-4 today, okay, he gets a start tomorrow. If he goes 0-for-4, you're not in the lineup. Vice versa, if Chaz goes 2-for-4, you might even be able to throw Singleton in the mix here. Not that he can play corner outfield, but you can move things around, you know, first base, DH. But, like, earn the burn. Singleton's a lefty, so you can actually play the handedness thing there. But righty, righty, righty. Earn the burn. Stop with the splits thing with them because they don't exist because they're all righties that hit lefties better. Earn the burn. Productive day at the plate. Yeah, they're all bad.
Every time, you know, we talk about the bottom. I looked at the bottom half of the lineup today, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's an outfest. I mean, the last three guys scare me. Jake's been okay of the three, but when you've got both Chaz and Dubon in the lineup lately, it's like you have zero confidence when they come to the plate in a key situation.
Yeah. Todd the Show says, Palillo would hate this. He doesn't believe in momentum in baseball. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if he's anti-momentum. Palillo. Earn the burn. Yeah, earn the burn with a couple of bad offensive players. Stop trying to just guess who's going to have a good game that day. No, earn the burn. Chaz goes, if Chaz is 1-for-4 with a walk, you earn the burn. You earn the burn because it's a very low bar with what you have going right now.
Yeah, because I don't think Leon's in the mix.
Right? Oh, yeah. You throw Leon in the conversation. Throw him. I forgot about Leon. Another right-handed bat. He can earn the burn. If he was 2-for-4 yesterday, okay, he earns a start today. But he was not, so he's out of the lineup today. Earn the burn.
Yeah, and at the same time, if he's not producing, I don't know how long they're going to keep him up and what their plans are for how they're going to handle the rest of the season. But if he's in the mix, then unlike when we had Cabbage sitting there rotting away and we had guys that were healthy scratches day in, day out, this is a better way to do it because guys at their locker at the end of the day know, hey, I've got to perform. But if I do, I'll be rewarded. I won't be punished and sat down because there's, you know, I'm part of a platoon and they've got guys that they want to put out there. This is the best way to handle it, to put your best offensive lineup on the field day in, day out for the rest of the season.
And you never know who's like, what day the Dubon or Chaz or Leon or even DeCenzo are going to have like their big day. So stop guessing.
Was it a week or so ago that Chaz suddenly went deep and we were like, oh, maybe he could break out of it?
Was it? I thought that was Dubon. Has Chaz went deep recently?
I think he did in the last week.
Really?
2 weeks.
I don't remember a Chaz
in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I think in the last 2 weeks he's gone yard.
I think I'm going to take the over on that.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over on Chaz McCormick going deep in the last 2 weeks.
I'm pretty sure you did.
McCormick. Yeah. Last home run for Chaz McCormick is July 24th.
Huh.
Against at Oakland, by the way. Okay. At the A's.
Okay. Well, I mean, regardless, I'm for it because of the fact that they have been so lacking in production offensively. Mm-hmm. And right now you need the same way when you had the idea, look, what's going to move Caratini to the catcher and keep Yiner in the lineup for his bat. You just need your best offensive lineup. Your pitching's doing enough to keep you in games and keep run production for the other team down.
Yeah.
You just have to put your best offensive lineup on the field.
I'm a little jealous of the Braves getting Jorge Soler though. He's been producing okay offensively for them. And he's playing the outfield, which no one thought he was capable of doing. All right, who's the most important player on the Texans' defense? 713-780-3776 is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at doing a lot of things here in Houston, Texas. He does spa treatments and plastic surgery and Botox. But what he does that I have personal experience in is PRP treatments and the NeoGraft procedure. It's getting your hair back, people. It's the simplest way I can put it. And I had a consultation with Doc and his staff where he explained to me that he can take hair where you're never going to lose it. And genetically, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. So he takes some of it from there to put it where you need it most. Maybe it's the bald spot on top and back or your hairline in front. But regardless of where you need it, he can put it there and it will stay for the rest of your life because he's taking it from a place where it never goes away. You can get that consultation like I did and he can explain it all to you. The PRP, which is like fertilizing your lawn, where it can take the hair that's still there, it's just not as thick as it used to be, and get it to look and feel and be just like it was when it was the finest hair that you've ever had. It's fantastic. You listen to us, you want to get the information from Doc. That consultation that I had normally is $150 for people on the street. You, because you listen to us, go to 975hair.com, set up the appointment there, and you get the consultation for free. No signing on the dotted line, money out of pocket, or commitment to be made. Just let them explain the procedures, ask your questions, get your answers, and consider if it might be something you want to do. I did it. Couldn't be happier with it. In 6 to 9 months, you see the full results. But right away the next day, you'll see the follicles there. They're growing, and you know they're going to be there. Check them out and tell them I sent you by and see if it might be right for you, too. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.